The following message was recorded live at Crossroads Church, a grace-centered community in central Alberta.
Good morning, everybody. Janny and I just wanted to say too, in our family, just how much we appreciate our church and your support and your prayers and your kindness. And it is really, truly a blessing to be in our church. And I must say what a blessing it is to be able to share from one of my favorite passages of the Bible this morning that Pastor Stu read for us. And Jesus here, he starts out with an invitation. And he says, if anyone is thirsty, come to me. That is one of the greatest invitations the world will ever hear. If you're thirsty, come to me, he says. Now, of course, he's not talking about physical thirst, but in the context of what our passage, he said, if you're thirsting in your innermost being, if you're here today and you're thirsting in your soul, then come to Jesus. And as I thought about it, I thought, I think everybody's thirsting. But the problem is that we try to satisfy this thirst in our soul with physical things. Like with money or possessions. We think, oh, if I just get enough money or enough possessions, it's going to make me happy. And as we seek these things, we're left empty. Or maybe it's pleasure. Maybe you're here and you're seeking pleasure. If I just seek after this, I'm going to be more satisfied. And the more you chase after pleasure, the more empty you become. Or even maybe a good thing, like a relationship. This person is going to bring me satisfaction. And I don't think that's fair. No one can bring you that kind of, that soul thirst, hunger, and no one can satisfy your soul in a relationship. And so we put pressure on the other person and because they can't do it. And it's not fair to even ask that. Or man-made religion. If I just do enough good, maybe I can fix the bad. That's very empty. Frustrating. Or many things, so many things. I said this morning, I hate to quote Mick Jagger in church, but I think he says it exactly the way it is. This is what the testimony of so many of us has been, is I can't get any satisfaction, but I try and I try and I try and I try. It's because you're seeking the wrong things. You're seeking things, and you need to seek a person. Jesus says we should stop going after all those things. There's a verse in the Bible that says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And so Jesus says, stop chasing all those things and turn, humble yourself and turn to me with all your heart. Repent, the Bible says, and trust in Jesus Christ to come into your life and to cleanse you from your sins. And then your soul, it loses all the guilt and the shame and your sin is taken away. And now you have a relationship with God Almighty through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And if you've ever experienced that, you know. Now your song isn't, I can't get any satisfaction, but it's, hallelujah, I have found him, whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longing. Through his blood, I now am saved. And we're set free. We're saved eternally. Our souls, which are eternal, are saved, and we have everlasting life with God. But not just that. He comes right into our lives. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit, now that we're made holy by Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes in and seals us, the Bible says. So he'll never leave you or forsake you. He begins to work on the inside of your life. But even further on this passage, and I think this passage is one of the most simplest, most beautiful, it may not quite be a parable, but it's a beautiful illustration, picture of what God wants for his people. He says, if you're thirsty, come to him. And then you're given these springs of this living water that satisfies your soul. But he says, I don't want it to end there. I want now you to become a channel for my Holy Spirit to flow through like rivers of living water. He said, he spoke this about the Holy Spirit. This is what I want for your life. Because there's so many thirsty people out there who don't know where to turn. And they need to see the satisfaction and the fruits of God's Spirit flowing out of our lives like rivers. And we're drawn. That's what God wants for every one of us. And the fruits of God's Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. God wants every one of his children to have these beautiful fruits flowing out to the world to glorify him and to draw others to himself. And if you look at those fruits, the first three, I really truly believe, if you boil down everything the world is searching and thirsting for, it's love, joy, peace. And those are the fruits of being right with God. And so the church, politics, all these other things, they can't change the world. It's the church that's the most powerful organism in the world. And when the church is full of God and flowing out like rivers, it changes communities. And that's what God is asking for. And I'm going to talk a little later in the message about how we can have rivers of living water flowing out of our lives. And also how we can quench and stop the flow of that river in our lives as well. But before I do that, I just want to share of things I've seen with my own eyes where I've seen rivers flowing out of other people. And I'm going to start when I was in the second and third grade. We lived in Calgary, and my dad and mom were having a lot of problems in their marriage, and my dad was an alcoholic, and there was a lot of problems. And I don't have too many early recollections of, younger, but there's a few things I remember. And I remember sitting on my bed with tears when I'd hear the arguing and wondering if my mom and dad were going to stay together. And I didn't know if there was a God or not a God, but I remember praying on my bed if God could come and help us. And right next door to us on the cul-de-sac that we lived was a lawyer and his family. And at the time, I didn't know how to explain it, but I loved going to their house. There was so much peace in that house, and they were so kind, and they just cared, and they were Christians. And I believe that on our block, my mom and dad said there was other Christians on that block, quite a few. God, in the 70s in Saskatoon, God, there was a revival that touched, and people were touched right across Western Canada. And these people had rivers of living water in their lives. And they asked my mom and dad to go to a Bible study, and mom and dad said, whatever you have, we want that. And they went. And they were born again. They gave their lives to Christ. And they told us, kids, we've become Christians. And so my dad and mom, they wanted to start again. So he left the company he worked for, and we moved to a little place called Melfort, Saskatchewan. It's a little farming community in Saskatchewan. And again, God had been working, and he was working in a lot of these little towns. And so we moved there, and we started going to church. And in this church, there was people with rivers. You don't know what it is when you're little. You move there, and we started going to church, and you could just see God was in a lot of these people's lives. And then a few years after we started going to the church, they said we're going to have a week of revival meetings, they called them. I didn't know what that meant, but I didn't like the idea of a week of church every night. But and there was also all these prayer. They were having prayer meetings for God to touch our hearts. And I remember thinking, I wonder what they do in those prayer meetings for so long. But they had these prayer meetings. And then this man, Bill McLeod, he was the pastor of the church that the revival began in Saskatoon. He came to our church, and I remember thinking, well, I'm just going to sort of zone out here. This is a whole week long, and I'm just going to daydream while he speaks. And he started to speak, and God came into that place. I remember being so convicted, I couldn't take my eyes off him. I did not daydream. I was, when the Bible talks about the word is like a sword, it cuts right into my heart. He cut right into my heart. And as he was talking, see, in the New Testament, you see when they preached the gospel, it says that God poured, and they were cut to the heart. And 3,000 people in one day were born again. And wherever Paul went to preach, it seemed like there was a revival and a riot. When the gospel is preached with power, you're convicted and you have to make a decision. And I remember in that meeting, I can see the whole thing. I just said no to God. I don't want to go this way. I want to go my own way. But I was so enthralled to what was going on. I was just watching the man. And then all of a sudden I turned and looked down the aisle. And I had never in all my life seen my dad cry. My dad wasn't saying no that day. He said yes to God. And they called people forward and he went to the front and he gave his life fully to God. And we went home after that meeting and he sat all of us down and he apologized to my mom in front of us and he said, I have not treated your mom right. And I haven't been a good dad to you boys. I haven't been a good example. And he said, God showed me tonight I'm the proudest person in the world. But he said, I gave my whole entire life to God and I want to follow him. And that night we got a new dad. You talk about rivers of living water flowing out of someone. It happened to my dad. And then three nights later, there was two fruits especially that were so important to me. Is one was peace. I was a kid, because I said no, my life just started going. And there was so much peace. And I remember just being so touched and so blessed by the peace of God that was in my dad. And the selflessness. It was so convicting to me through those years. But then on Wednesday night, we went all week. After that, it was like every time the doors of this church open, we will be going through them, my dad said. And he was a prophet. We did. But Wednesday night came and the man, Pastor McLeod, spoke on bitterness. And my mom had been not treated right growing up. And she had bitterness in her heart. And she told us this towards her mother. And well, the message was she went forward and she dealt with the bitterness in her heart. And we got a new mom. She'd battled with anger. She would always call it her Irish temper. But I'll tell you, God touched her heart as she dealt with bitterness. And as I've been pastoring before, I was with the faith, you pastor, you work with people. And bitterness is a huge, huge thing that stops the rivers of God from flowing in your life. But mom, she dealt with that. She went back to Toronto where she grew up and apologized to her mom and made things right. And it was just beautiful. Our family, we got two people just met God and we got to see those rivers of living water flowing right in our home. But I just kept, it's amazing. I was only in junior high school when those meetings were. And on the inside, I made a decision that just really started to ruin my life. You can try to hide it on the outside, but if you're here today, that is a very important age where you can go one way or the other. But I remember a few years later when I was in University of Saskatchewan running away from God, Pastor McLeod came back to our church in Melfort and I really appreciated him. You just saw such reality in his life. And so my dad knew and he phoned a few weeks ahead and said, Jeff, I would so much love it if you'd come back home when Pastor McLeod is speaking. And I did not want to do that. But I said I would. And so on Friday night, I went to the home and went to the church that night. And again, that the power of the Holy Spirit. But again, I said no. And we went back to our house and Pastor McLeod was in our living room. He was just talking and he was telling stories. And I remember sitting there going, is he able to read my mind? And it was always talking straight to me. And I had to leave the room. I was so overcome. I had to go to the room and I just wept in the bathroom. And I tried to compose myself. And I went back out to the living room and I said to my mom and dad, I really got to get back to Saskatoon. And I made an excuse and I left. But God gave me another chance to turn to him. I think he gave me many. But the faithfulness of God. You know, when you're running, you have praying parents, you have praying people for you, and you try to get away, and you run into these rivers everywhere you go. You know that when sometimes you go to a pool or something like that, or to the lake where there's all sorts of water all around, you tell people, I'm wearing good clothes, please don't get me wet. Well, you should never say that, because you by the time, you're soaked. And you know, you're trying to run from God, and God just keeps putting these people in your life. And so my brother and I, we moved here to Red Deer. We bought a business in Red Deer a few years later. And then again, it was God. He allowed us to rent a house 3 doors from Oriole Park Missionary Church. That's our church, but before, when it wasn't this big. And we lived a little ways from there, and we tried to stay away from church, and then we finally, Dad kept, and we thought we should go. And so we went, and we said, or at least I said, Todd's so outgoing, my brother, and I said, please don't talk to people when we go there. We'll just leave and go home. But they were so loving. They caught us before we could get out the door. We'd leave before the final song and try to get away. And there was someone waiting at the door for us. And it was Mr. Peterson, Don Peterson. And it was people like the Tomalties and the Shimkies. These people in the church with just rivers of living water flowing out of their life. And they just began to love me and my brother. And then other people, the Pastor Art Dick and Mrs. Dick, you just look back at these people, and Fred and Dita, you're trying to run away and you got all these people just loving you, who have rivers of living water flowing out of their lives. We want to be those people. And then they introduced us to a young man who had just become a Christian, and he'd been involved in organized crime, and he was a drug debt collector. He was a bouncer. He'd lived a life of violence. And he'd just been saved. And him and my brother were both bodybuilders, and so we all became great friends. And this guy had rivers of living water flowing out of his life. He'd come to know the Lord, and every time he'd bring up Jesus, he'd just be crying. Big, huge guy. And he became one of our very best friends we ever had. But we thought, he had an apartment, we had a big house. We thought, well, why don't you move in with us, Dale? And so Dale, he moved in, and it was like having the Apostle Paul move into your house. Just full of I'm trying to run away from rivers, and here it's just one just flowing all the time in my house. And Todd and I both, we saw, it was just such joy and such peace, and just the way God wants us to be, just a clean channel for the rivers of, and I was fighting God. And I remember I was down in my room during that time and watching all of this and fighting and running from God. And I came to the passage in the Bible where it was just the right timing. My dad had been asking me to read through the Bible. And so I was, and I came to Galatians 5, where it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And I just broke down. I said, Lord, I don't even know what those are. But I see all these Christians that are so full of joy. It's full of peace. And I said, God, if that invitation is still open, I didn't know if it was. I'd been reading enough of the Bible to be dangerous, kind of, because I thought maybe I'd committed the unpardonable sin because I kept rejecting God. And I said, if the offer's still open, I will give you my whole entire life. And I trust Christ to save me. And at that moment, it was like this does not happen to everyone if you're here and you want to, but I needed this. I was so hurting on the inside. I was trying to have alcohol to numb it all the time, and I was destroying. And I cried out to God to save me and to give me this peace and this joy. And it was like a waterfall of joy and peace just overcame me. Before I was a Christian, I had to hide the sorrow in my heart. But then after I came to Christ, that hallelujah, I found the joy, and you'd have to calm yourself down at times because just the joy of God. And all of us, and it was neat to see how God was working through Dale and other people get saved. And I'd go to this Bible study they were having, and every single week there'd be people putting their hands, and they said, you know, I've known so-and-so for my whole life, and something has hugely happened in their life, and I want to give my life to God. And there's more and more people coming to know Christ. It's just the way God, there's rivers flowing out of people, and people getting soaked and saved. And so we prayed, Lord, what do you want us to do with our lives? And God showed me clearly that I should be a pastor. And that I should train under Bill McLeod, the man that had spoke at our church. And so I went back home, and I met a girl who has rivers of living water flowing out of her life. And I don't know how, but God gave her to me. And she wanted to do the same thing, is just serve the Lord. And so Janie and I, we'd ask, Pastor McLeod said we could come and train under him to be a pastor, and we went to Winnipeg, And I'll tell you, I spent time, I would travel with him. I'd spend time with him. Every morning he would wake up and spend time with God. And he'd come out of that, and it was just as though he had rivers of living water flowing, the peace, the joy. And he invited me along to speak, or him to speak, and I would just go and help him at these churches. And every time, I was supposed to be helping him in the prayer room, and every time he'd speak, my heart would just break, and I'd be the first one up the front. And I said, I guess I'm learning how to work in the prayer room because I'm there the first one every time. But you just saw the reality of God in his life. The Bible says we're supposed to be salt. Every time I spent time with him, I was just more thirsty for God. And I finally came to him. I said, Pastor McLeod, how do you live like this? I want to have a life like your life that glorifies God. You'd be going somewhere and he'd be sitting on the plane. Someone would be sitting beside him. And within a few minutes, they'd have tears coming down their face. And I asked him, I said, you know, remember that time you were in my living room? At my house back in Melford, my mom and dad's house in Melford, I said, it was as though you knew my whole life and you were I thought you could read my mind, I said. And I'm sure he thought, who am I working with here? But he said, no, I cannot read your mind. But he said, I'll tell you what I do. Every morning I wake up, I ask God to fill me with the Spirit and that whoever I run into, I could maybe have a Bible verse or a story or maybe even something tough to say, that whatever you want me to say, Lord, I want to say it. And I thought that makes so much sense. And so I asked him, how do you have these rivers of living water flowing out of your life? And he gave me some verses and some things to think about. And the first one was, he said, there's a verse in Colossians, Jeff, that says, the same way you received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him. As you've received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him. And he said, how did you receive him? Oh, I said, and he'd heard my test. I said, I gave everything to him. I came to him, I gave him everything. And I trusted Jesus to be my Savior. He said, that's how he wants you to walk. Every morning you wake up, fresh and new, give everything to God. And then instead of for salvation, you trust God and say, God, would you fill me with your Holy Spirit so that there'd be rivers of living water flowing out of my life. He talked about the kernel of wheat falling into the ground and dying. And if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. He said, as you abandon your life to God and trust him to fill you with his Holy Spirit, he will. He talked about the guy banging on the door. Remember the parable? Pastor Julie's going to be sharing on that. I'm so looking forward to it. But where we taught to pray and bang on the door and never give up until God fills you with his Spirit. And then he gave me this book. It was called The Calvary Road. And it had an illustration in it that was so simple, and I needed simple. And it was about, he said, there was a mother in the kitchen, and it could be a father, mother, whatever. And they had this glass jar full of gravy. And he said, if she wanted to put that on the table, she wouldn't just go to the tap and put water in it and put it on the table with the gravy floating around. She said, no. She'd dump the gravy out, clean it all out so it was squeaky clean. You could see right in there, and then she'd fill it full of water. He said, that's what God wants for our lives. He said, often in the Bible, our hearts are likened to a cup, or our souls are likened to a cup. And he says, we need to hold our cups up to God in absolute abandonment to him and ask him, is there anything in my cup that's not clean? Because he won't pour in until it's clean. And as we do that, as we say, Lord, show me. And like some people say, I haven't had an answer to prayer for years. And if you pray this, you will have an answer to prayer within the day. Is search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. If you hold your cup, your heart up to God and say, God, is there anything in there that's grieving your spirit and stopping the flow of rivers in my life? He'll begin to show you. And I remember the Suteras, they were these preachers. They every time they preached, they'd have the words, yes, Lord, on the front. And they'd always say, if you want to walk in the fullness of God, just keep saying, yes, Lord. You can't really say no, Lord, because if you say no, he's not really the Lord in your life. But as God shows you things, you deal with them. And if you're here today and you're saying, maybe you're saying, I've been thirsting and I need to come to Christ, I would encourage you, stop chasing those other things and come to Christ. If you're here today and you say, oh man, I've known those rivers in my life, but they've dried up. I don't have any rivers flowing anymore. There might be rivers flowing out, but it might be criticism. It might be bitterness. It might be lust or whatever it might be. And there's no rivers of God's Spirit flowing out of my life right now. Well, I would encourage you to just begin to pray. See, honesty is the beginning of all spiritual blessings. It's the beginning. And if you get honest and say, God, there's not rivers flowing anymore. But as God is my witness, I want there to be. And I want to come to you, and I want to hold up my cup to you, and anything you show me in my cup, I want to deal with it. And it's a process that God begins in your life. He begins to change you and cleanse you. Some people, I asked God to fill me with his Spirit, but he said no. No, that's partly right. You ask God to fill you with his Spirit, but you said no. God will always begin a process and begin to show us maybe idols, maybe things in our life. Maybe you're saying here today, I have bitterness in my life. Any place in the Bible where he talks about grieving the Holy Spirit, bitterness is always in that group. Or maybe you have something you're hiding in your life that's dried up the rivers of God. Well, the world needs the church. The less rivers there is flowing in our nation, we say, oh, it's the politicians, it's this, it's that. No, it's the church is the most powerful organism in the world. And when the church is full and rivers flowing out of them, the thirsty come. And so there's sometimes it's called sins of commission and sins of omission. But if we're not filled with the Spirit, then we're not glorifying God and we're not drawing people to Christ. Sometimes even the church can actually push people away from God. And that's very sad. I've done that. My own life where I went, you know, that the Bible says that hypocrisy can take away the thirst of a person. And it does. And so if you're here today and say, oh man, I need rivers of living water to flow back in my life again. Well, just begin to get honest and just begin to cry out to God. The Bible says there's two things you're supposed to be filled with. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So I would say tomorrow, anybody that I've ever seen that's got rivers of living water flowing out of their life, they have a quiet time with God. That they're very serious to make sure they keep that. And so every day we need to get into the word and let the word wash us. And then we need to ask God. It also says we're to be filled with the Spirit. So as you're alone with God, just come before God and worship him and say, God, here's my life. I lift up my heart to you in surrender. And I ask you to cleanse my heart. And in these days, I want you to show me anything that's keeping me from that abundant, those rivers flowing out of my life. And he'll begin to show you. And you just keep going. I was praying one time, and I saw this vision. I was praying for revival for Canada, and I was with some other people. And I had this vision while I was praying. And there was this huge, huge ocean. Just, there was no end. It didn't make sense, the vision, because you couldn't have that with just a little dam. But there was this huge ocean. And then there was this dam. And on the other side of the dam was this riverbed. And there was all these people along the river. They were dying of thirst. And you're like, this is not good. But it was a picture of the church. Here's God. There's God's power, God's love, God's everything. There's God's omnipotent. There's no end to him. But for some reason, God's allowed the church. He uses his church to reach the world. And if you look closely though at the dam, there was all these pipes in the dam, but they were all clogged up, every one of them. But while I was praying, all of a sudden, this one pipe, this guck, just came flying out, just poof, the pressure, and the guck came out, and then water started flowing. And another one, the guck came, and it was just like poof, poof, all over, and the water started flowing, there became a river, and the people were saved. When I told you my story, if there wasn't those rivers on that block in Calgary, I don't know where we'd be. If there's not rivers flowing in our home, I don't know where the next generation's going to be. But one thing you can know for sure is that if you cry out to God and say, God, no matter what it costs me, One guy said to another guy, I give everything I have for the walk you have with God. He said, good, that's what it cost me. If you're willing to give everything and say, like another person said, it'll cost you everything to walk in the Spirit, but I think it'll cost us a lot more if we don't. There are so many people lost, and they need to see reality. The world isn't stupid. They want to see reality. And if we just say, God, I want that to be me, he'll meet you. So I'd encourage you, maybe if you want to come forward today, this morning, it's so dark in here, I've been here, I forget what time it is, but you come forward and meet with God. There'll be people here to pray with you. Maybe you're more of a person, you sit where you are. Maybe it's just tomorrow morning, you're going to say, I'm going to get up and I'm going to meet with God. And I'm going to go through that process of whatever it costs me. But let me just pray for us. Dear Lord, I just want to thank you so much for Christ. And Lord, that the invitation is open to everyone here in this room. If anyone is thirsty, come to me. And I pray, Lord, if there is people fighting you or chasing after other things, I pray that, Lord, you just touch them today and they'd come to you for the fountain of living water. I pray for all of us here in this room. I pray for me especially, but everyone here. Lord, that we'd get honest. And if there isn't rivers flowing, Lord, that we would just cry out to you. Lord, like Moody said, Lord, when they asked him, why do you always ask God to fill you with his Spirit? He said, because I'm so leaky. And if we've come here today and we're leaky, I pray, Lord, you'd fill us up again. And we just want to stand under the fountain and ask you, Lord, that we'd have such soft hearts that sin would break our hearts and that right away we'd make things right with you and the rivers of water would continue to flow in our lives. We pray for those around us, Lord, that are thirsting for you, that they'd see you in us. Lord, we just commit every heart here today. We ask your Holy Spirit to come into this place even right now and convict us, draw us, encourage us, and fill us with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.